For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Come on. Yes, Lord, speak to us. Speak to us. Speak to us. Jesus, speak to us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory to your holy name. Glory to your holy name. Thank you in Jesus' name. Father, we are grateful one more time for this morning. Thank you for this great opportunity to be in church. We count it a great privilege, a privilege which someone but cannot get, but we freely have it. We don't take it for granted. So we say thank you. And as we are in your presence, we say, Lord, speak to us. Let us not fight your word. Let our hearts be fertile. Let, oh God, us not be just hearers of your word, but let your word even today teach us and change us. Let your word come to correct us and point us in the right direction. Thank you. May we, through your words, oh God, even become divine partakers, partakers of your divine nature. We thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so please be seated. Amen. We're glad to have all of you. God bless you for coming. We have a baby dedication. We've had baby dedications. This is the third one back to back, isn't it? It means that the Lord is blessing us. Amen. I believe there will be many more dedications. Many, many, many more. Do you believe it? Yes, we'll have many dedications in this church. Amen. Some of them are going to be surprising. Yes. Yes. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to change the topic a little bit. I think we've been talking about tithes, for paying your tithes, types of giving, and particularly paying tithes. We've been teaching on it for a long time, isn't it? I think more than a month. So I'm going to put a pause here. But I want to recommend Bishop's book. I've basically been sharing, I think, from the last chapter of this book. So if you don't have it, get it and read it. Why Non-Tithing Christians Become Poor and How Tithing Christians Can Become Rich. Amen. It's very important. And the motivation again for paying tithes is obedience. You just do it. I've been teaching the second service, the extreme valor service, and we've been talking about faith, how to develop your spirit, because your spirit is where faith comes from. And one of the ways of developing is just do what God says. There's nothing mysterious about God. When God says do something, just do it. If you're waiting for Angel Gabriel to come down and make you do it, it's not going to happen. Anything God says, do. And the Bible says God is just. If God is just, he would not make us do things or say to us to do things which we cannot do. Anything that God wants you to do, it means you are able to do it. Amen. So please read the book. Let's keep reading it and we'll visit it again. Whenever you preach about tithes, people start paying, but I want you to sustain paying your tithes. Amen. Now, this morning, I want to just introduce for a brief period before we do our baby dedication. I want to talk about prayer. I want to talk about prayer. I feel there's a lot on my heart that I want to say about prayer, but I don't know how. So I'm just going to start from somewhere. All right? And we'll just introduce it. Prayer. Now, prayer is one of the things that Christians struggle with. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you don't look like somebody who struggles with prayer. And ask your neighbor, am I right? What did they say? You can answer this one. We all struggle with prayer, isn't it? Yeah. Last night, I throughout the time I was praying, the only prayer I really had on my heart is that God make me more prayerful. Amen. Yes, I want to be a man of prayer because I don't consider what I do as enough, you know. And I had very it was a very interesting night. I had, you know, sometimes you have some experiences in the night or, you know, in your sleep that you can't even talk about. Yes. And I believe that God was helping me. So I want to talk to you about prayer. You see, there are many people seated in church or come to church who want something from God. How many of you want something from God? Or you need something from God? You want a breakthrough. You want a miracle. You want the hand of God. You want to see something from God. See, there's a price to pay. There is a price to pay. And the price is prayer. In fact, it's a very cheap price. The way to move the hand of God, the way to create things on this earth, and bring things, pull down things from heaven, is by prayer. Amen. And we don't like doing it. Why do I say so? There are many things that we say in church, but many people don't follow through with it. Yeah. For some weeks now, we've been talking about, for example, I'll give you an example. We're talking about joining cell groups. We've talked about it many times. Be a part of a cell group. Be a part of a cell group. Join a cell group. You must have a cell group. You must be in a cell group. Because I felt that, in fact, that's a direction. And that's the wind that is blowing in the church now. Join a cell group. Not everyone has still done it. And I'm still telling you, join a cell group. Be part of a cell group. Don't be in this church and not belong to a cell group. You see, and join it before it's too late, because a time will come, we'll stop talking about it, and that is it. That is it. That is it. Are you understanding? Yes. Yeah. Another thing we struggle with is witnessing. Outreach people won't come. But another thing we struggle with is prayer. Prayer meetings, people don't come. Very few people. When we have our all night, we have our all night every, the first Friday of every month. We pray from 9:30 p.m. to 4 a.m. Very few people come. Very, very few. Am I speaking that? You are making me feel like I'm saying something very bad. It's the truth. People don't come. Yet you need a miracle. Yet you need a breakthrough. Yeah, I'm telling you that the way forward is prayer. We need to pray. We need to pray. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. You know, recently I was... Myself and Lady Pastor, we're just, you know, we try when we are home, we just sometimes play a particular tape or a message and let it keep playing. Just soak it in and enjoy. And this particular time, we're playing a message by Kenneth Hagin. I've said this a couple of times already in the past 2-3 weeks. And in a message, Kenneth Hagin was talking about a minister whose spouse was not well. I think she had cancer, terminal stage of cancer. And she was, you know, terminal means there's nothing that can be done. So they called Kenneth Hagin, and he went with his wife, all right, to pray with the couple. Do you know how long they prayed? 3 days. 3 days. And to cut the story short, the woman was healed. They prayed first day, nothing happened. They prayed second day, nothing happened. On the third day, as they were praying, the Lord gave Kenneth Hagin directions clearly. The wife, they were all in the room praying around the sick bed. But the wife suddenly turned to him and spoke in tongues, and the interpretation of the tongues asked, can he understood it clearly, like in English. Stand at the foot of the bed and say, thou dirty or unclean spirit, foul spirit, come out of her. And he did that. Immediately, something flew out of her body. In fact, everybody in the room said they felt like a bird. And immediately the woman sat up, somebody who had been bedridden, and started dancing and went downstairs to eat watermelon with them. 3 days! You see, when we hear about things in people's lives, our fathers and the great men of, are you listening to me? We think that is, they ate bofrot and they ate, banku. By the way, the banku yesterday was very nice. Very nice. Very nice banku. And we feel like they ate and ate and then they just slept and the miracles happened. No. No. Bishop says that sometimes his wife tells him, Bishop Dad, sometimes his wife tells him that he prays in tongues even when he's asleep. It is the continuous prayer. We hear about Smith Wigglesworth, who raised like 20-something people from the dead. I heard Kenneth Copeland one day describing how he raised a person. It was not like, dead, be raised. No, it took hours. Hours. He and the dead body in the room. And Smith Wigglesworth was like that. He will prop the dead body up and command life into the body. Then the body will slide down. Then you lift it up again. Command life into the body. Then to slide. Hours! Until suddenly the guy started breathing again. You think the way you pray, you will have a miracle? So I want to share with you, maybe in the next today and maybe the next 2-3 weeks, depending on how God leads me, to show you and I that we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. I always say this, Bishop Ayedepo, Witness Chapel. I watch him sometimes. And not too long ago, I was watching I was at work. I had a little time, so I was flipping through. And I saw this, like a clip. They were having a prayer meeting. And they had a prayer meeting just to have, they were talking, the whole prayer was directed as, in terms of like praying for marriages and productivity, people to have babies in the church. So when the man of God comes to stand here and says, receive a baby, it was created weeks ago in a prayer meeting. I've gone past where I feel or I allow you to make me feel that I'm very anointed. Yes. I'm very, very anointed. The Holy Spirit is upon me. I can feel him even now. The fact that you have not received your, it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with you. You are the one not praying. We don't pray. We do not pray. We simply don't pray. Christians don't pray. All we like to do is eat and sleep. You can't be prayerful when all you do is watch TV. I have a TV in my house. In fact, this week, I don't know how many times that TV has been turned on. I watch movies. Sometimes on Sundays after church, I'll watch maybe one movie. Finish. I watch news. News, all you have to do is watch news 30 minutes. 30 minutes, you are finished. I'll just zero. I don't like CNN. That's me. I'm not. You can like CNN. I like Al Jazeera. Watch Al Jazeera 30 minutes, 20 minutes. So even the thing starts cycling. After 20 minutes, the same thing they are telling you. You can't pray. You see? And you feel like you're too busy to. No, no. It's because You just don't want to pray. You don't like prayer. The same person who says they come, they don't have time. You have enough time to watch Nigerian movies. Yeah. And Nigerian movies are nice. They are way ahead of us. Did you hear Prince Charles trying to argue about which jollof rice was nicer? Whether it was Nigerian jollof or Ghanaian jollof. He said he leaves that to us to argue. This is Shay. We don't know which one. Yeah, but in terms of movies, they are ahead of us. And their movies nice. You don't pray. Easy. So I hope that by what we are sharing this week, next few weeks or so, you will be encouraged to pray and take prayer seriously. There are people in the church who pray. I know. Mama prays. Mama is a prayer warrior. Sister Love, Auntie Love, she prays. But when she has a problem, I'm going to pray. And she will come back in a few days. You see that there's a room. Yeah. Wow. The place is quiet. Yes. The place is very quiet. The place is quiet. Ask your neighbor that, why are you so quiet? So James chapter 4 and let's read from verse 1. James chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Then know the next statement. It says, yet ye have not because ye ask not. So one of the reasons why we don't have is because we ask not. Bible tells us clearly, whatever we set loose on earth is set loose up there. Whatever we bind here is bound there. It has to take place here. So one of the reasons why we don't have is because we ask not. Then verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So that's another reason. But I'm talking today about why we don't have. One of the reasons is because we ask not. We don't pray. Now, somebody may say, oh, Pastor, I pray. You know, I pray. I pray in tongues 5 minutes yesterday. It's true. You see, when you do something in a way that is not the recommended way or the way it is done, it's equal to not being done. Yeah. If we have a 400 meter race, okay, and then we start, and then you run 20 meters, then you stop. You can't say you've run 400 meters. The fact that you started, and that's the problem with the kingdom. We start a lot of things. As I'm saying, people are saying, from today I'm going to pray. From today I'm going to pray. From today I'm going to pray. And then when we finish, you say, you go to your... It's finished. Tomorrow, zero. That's the problem. But it is continuing and doing that. See, so I'm saying that sometimes even the prayer we think with, it's not prayer. A lot of us don't have time. We don't make time to pray. The only prayer you say is in your car. Microwave prayer. 5x2. You are done. So we don't have because we don't ask. We don't have because we do not pray. Now, one of the ways to pray, or the recommended way to pray, is actually to pray continuously. Continuously. That is prayer. No prayer today and then tomorrow you stop. Continuous prayer. Continuous prayer. That is why Bishop's wife told him that you even pray in your sleep. And when I pray, when I'm saying that, that's my prayer, that's what I've been praying, that is where I want to get to. I want prayer to be coming out of me, even when I'm standing. Even as you are breathing, it's prayer. Yeah. That is what brings miracles. It is not your crying. I'm sorry. I feel sorry too. I'm sad that you don't have what you have or what you are desiring. But what the thing that will move you from the place of, you know, getting what, not from the place of not having what you have to the place of having what you desire is prayer. Amen. It is not being sad. Yeah. It is done on the knees. It is done without sleeping. There is no other way. I mean, if you work from 8 to 5, it means that you would have to stay awake to pray. You have to send up some messages up to bind things, to lose things here before it is done up here. That is it. Yeah. One of the great men of God, I think it's Charles Spurgeon, one of those people. He said that it is as though God is limited by our prayer. God is limited. In other words, we've put like handcuffs on God. God cannot do anything. God cannot. And that is how, when you get to heaven, if you make it to heaven, when you go to heaven, ask him why. That God, why is it that you can't do anything till I pray? That is how it is. God will not move. God will not do anything until you pray. There is a price. Yes. It's only prayerful people who will clap. Yes. Because they can understand what I'm saying. Thank you, Auntie Evelyn. Psalm 55 verse 17. Look at it. Psalm 55 verse 17. Psalm 55 and 17. It says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Amen. Amen. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. That's how God hears. That is how God hears. Yeah. I dare say that some of us would have been destroyed if somebody was not praying for you. You are lucky that somebody was praying for you. Because if it was left to you, there will be no protection. Nothing is going up noon. Nothing is going up evening. Nothing is going up morning. And you'll be left wide to the enemy. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Do you have it? If you have it, say, I got it. Luke 18. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. This is a parable. It's an illustrative story that Jesus gave to us. He gave to you and I. And the reason for this parable is to teach us that men, when the Bible says men, it means women too. Created he both male and female. That men ought always, evening, morning, and noon, to pray and not to faint. You can elaborate on the word faint. The faint is not necessarily passing out, and we do pass out sometimes. You are so overwhelmed by your problems that you are passing out. But it could also mean tired, sleeping. Men ought, ought is a very strong word. It's a very strong, turn to your neighbor and say, ought is a very strong English word. Yes. When you see the word ought, there's no maneuvering around it. It means this is the way. You see, sometimes we limit God and try to think about God. Father, thank you. Give me some oil. Somebody give me some oil. Jesus. God will do a miracle in your life. Wholeness. Makaye delebre ki loko to pali. Lish te pam delimando rustike nananda. Lingro kochimia sombre talimada. Talima narianda. I command healing into your body right now. In the name of Jesus. Every plan, anything that the enemy has intended to do with, he's a liar. Ho, 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 ho. He's a liar. It is done. Shall live and not die. Thank you. Thank you. The spirit of fear. You've been living in fear. You dream fear. You walk in fear. But the fear is no more. Amen. From today, fear shall not have any role and impact in you. Receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Did it make sense to you? Amen. Listen. Where were we? Ought. The word ought. It's strong. It's strong. There's no maneuvering around ought. If it says ought, it means it's something that you have to do. And Jesus is saying that men ought, women ought to pray and not to faint. So he began to tell this illustration. Let me see how far we can go and stop in a few minutes. Let's read on. So this is what he said. Saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Verse 3. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me. I have a problem. I do have a problem. There's something worrying me. There's a problem in my life. There's an issue in my family. There's a problem in my marriage. There's a problem with my child. There's a problem with something about me is not right. So judge, avenge. Listen, we have an adversary. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Without that adversary, your life will be perfect. So this woman recognized, look, there's a problem. There's something. I need judge. I need you to do something about it. I need you to make a change. I need you to turn my story around. Judge, I need you to do something. Avenge me of my adversary. Lift up your hand and say, God, avenge me of my adversary. And verse 4. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. That is what the judge is saying. I don't want this person to come and worry me. I heard Kenneth Hagin say one time that he said, he told God that, God, if you don't do this, I will keep coming, I will worry you and keep asking you the same thing. I guess he was using this scripture. So he's saying, that the widow said, look, I will not stop. And And the judge is seeing it, and the judge is saying that, look, this woman is going to keep asking me. She's going to keep asking me. She's going to keep asking. And at the point, she's going to wear me out. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Okay? Hear what the unjust judge said. Don't forget in verse 2, it says, the judge fear not God, neither regard him. All right? So Jesus is trying to even show us that even the worst of people, the worst of judges, who don't regard men, who don't fear, who are so brutal, they don't care about anything, even they will, at the point, given to somebody who continuously comes to them and keeps asking. Then verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect? So in other words, if this judge can even give in, or this judge who is so wicked will give in, how much more God? How much more God? Will God, that's what Jesus says, shall not God avenge his own elect? But know the condition. His own elect which sleep. His own elect which don't come for all night. His own elect who watch CNN 3-4 hours. You see, and those things, there's a way, how many of you can tell this one? There's a way of it wasting your time. I mean, you could be sitting by CNN. Look at this midterm elections. I mean, you could be sitting by the TV watching CNN. By the time you realize 4-5 hours are gone, you could be praying. So this scripture is not for CNN watchers. It is not for movie watchers. It says God shall not God avenge his own. How many of you are his elect? How many of you are? If you are not, you have to be sure before you leave this place. Very serious. You have to be sure. If you are saved, you are born again, you are of the elect. And it says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night? God will. That's what Jesus is trying to say. God will. God will. He will avenge his elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Let's end with verse 8. This is the last verse. I promise you, and we're done. Pay attention. He says, I tell you. These are the words of Jesus. So, I tell you, he, God, will avenge them speedily. You see, last night I was praying about this, and I said to God, what is that speedily? And don't take this as a doctrine. But I've heard Kenneth Hagin say it many times that there's hardly a time he's prayed seriously about something 3 days.